Permet via, permet mister, I can from hell, a stable land, higher plane, than I am bound. Lord, grant my feet on higher ground, I want to stay.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We're in Ephesians chapter 2, and we left off with some verses here, and I'd like to look back and just read those verses once again, some of them. Verse 7 of Ephesians 2 says that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We look and we learn by studying God's word how that we can be saved and how that we are saved, those of us who have trusted Jesus as our Savior, that in the ages to come, the Bible speaks of here in verse 7, we think back of the ages behind us, and then we think of the ages to come, something would happen. Jesus Christ would come into the world, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You see, it's just as we look back and we see the cross, in our eye of faith, we see Jesus, and we know that Jesus was crucified, he died, he was buried, but he resurrected, and he's alive. We see that through the eye of faith. We see that in ages past. People in the Old Testament times, let's look at that. They saw things to come. They looked to the cross in the future. The ages to come. And after the cross happened, we see that Jesus Christ did give his life. He did save us because it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We who look back to the cross, just as those who look forward to the cross, we look back to that cross and we receive what Jesus did for us. Now, the cross was a means of death. And we don't worship the cross. We worship Jesus Christ. Now, when we get to a point that we worship the cross, that's just like worshiping an electric chair. You say, well, that's not very good. No, it's not. When you stop to think of it, we don't worship the cross, but we worship Jesus Christ. We don't worship what Jesus Christ died on. We worship the fact that Jesus did give his life for us, for all of mankind. And some of us have taken advantage of his death. And I say taken advantage, that means that we've accepted it. And we've accepted the fact that he was buried, and we accepted the fact that he is alive forevermore. And because we've accepted those things about Jesus Christ, then we've accepted the fact that we're saved and we're on our way to heaven. And that gives us great comfort in time of need. Well, the Bible says in verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. I believe there's many people who are saved today, and we don't realize how many people have been born into the kingdom of God because of Jesus Christ. We may not see a lot of people or hear of a lot of people that's been saved, but there are a lot of people who have been saved by the grace of God, just as you and I have been saved. We're not alone. We serve the risen Savior, and we serve together because of that risen Savior. We serve. Now, we may not be in the same place of service like you. You may belong to a different church than I do, but we're in service for the Lord. And I pray that you are in service, that you are serving God out of your local church, that you're going forth and telling other people about Jesus Christ. You need to be in a good church. And what makes a good church? A good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church that stands on the Word of God, that tells it just like it is, that tells men and women that they must be born again in order to go to heaven, and that people, when they get saved, after they're saved, they need to be living for the Lord. Now, the last time we looked and we saw how that there are some people who creep in unawares. Verse 4 says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." There's people who creep into local churches, and the Bible talks about leading captive silly people. The Bible even says silly women. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6 says, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts." Well, I got news for you. There's also silly men. There's also people who fall for the deceivableness of certain people, ungodly people, who creep in, who sneak into local assemblies, and they lead captive people. And I'm talking about saved people. They can lead captive, silly, saved people. Well, how do you keep that from happening? You keep it from happening by getting into the Word of God, studying the Word of God, and understanding what has happened to you as a saved person. You've received Jesus Christ as Savior, and you're to live for Him. You're not to live for any man. You're not to live for any person. You're not to live for the church. You're not to live for any other reason other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He saved you. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Well, these people creep in and they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, ungodly men. Well, notice verse 9 in Ephesians chapter 2 now, where it says how we're saved and how we're not saved. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." You notice verse 8, it tells you how we are saved. It's "For by grace are we saved through faith." It's not of ourselves, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, when I see these two verses, especially verse 9, I think of Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, where it says, "Therefore by the deeds of the law," and this would be works, "therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." You know, I meet certain individuals and I ask them if they're saved on their way to heaven, and they'll say something like, "Well, I hope so," or "I'm doing my best. You know, I hope one day I'm going to go to heaven." Well, the fact of the matter is, if you're trying to work your way to heaven, you're not going to make it. You say, "Well, I'm not doing anything against the law, the Ten Commandments. I'm trying to do my best to be the best person I can." We see the Bible teaches us that if a person breaks one of the Ten Commandments, he's guilty of breaking them all. And in fact, there is no person who's ever kept the Ten Commandments except one person, and that person is Jesus Christ. "But therefore, by the deeds of the law," that's works, "there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Even by Jesus Christ keeping the entire Ten Commandments, that doesn't save us. We're saved by his death, burial, and resurrection. We're saved through his blood, not by silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can work our fingers to the bone, and we are still going to go to hell without receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Verse 20 of Romans 3 once again says, "Therefore by the deeds of the law," that's the works, "there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Well, some people do get saved and they're confused as to really how they got saved and how they stay saved. Well, they may know how they got saved, and then if they're saved, they do know how they got saved. They've trusted Jesus Christ. But then they get a little confused, and they think that in order to stay saved, they've got to do certain things to stay saved. Well, just as you could do nothing to save yourself, you can do nothing to keep yourself saved. It's all through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 what it says. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." I believe that when a person goes back into the world after being saved, and we talked about this earlier, how that people, you know, they're confused and they go back out into the world and they start living like the devil. People confuse them and they think they can do the things of the world and serve God, and they find they can't serve God and live like the devil. God sets them on a shelf. And we see these people are ashamed. Their testimony says they're ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ because of what they're doing. Instead of having a testimony, a godly testimony, they become a testimony to the world, to the things of the world, to the things of the devil. Well, verse 8 of 2 Timothy chapter 1 says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." We are in essence saying when we go back into the world, saved, going back into the world, that we're ashamed of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Our testimony makes us ashamed. It makes the testimony of the Lord ashamed. In other words, it puts him to an open shame. And while thinking about the law, let me say this. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24, it says, "Wherefore the law," that's the Ten Commandments now we're speaking of, "wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Verse 25, "But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster." In other words, we've seen what needs to be done. We know that we can't keep the law. We can't work our way to heaven. And we can't work to stay saved. The schoolmaster tells us this and shows us this. There's no way that any person is going to be able to work his or her way to heaven or to keep the Ten Commandments. So therefore, we learn that we are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into the world to seek and to save those who were lost. Well, verse 9, once again, of Ephesians chapter 2 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. And verse 10 goes on to say, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Well, now, when I go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, now, I talked about the testimony of our Lord. It says, in verse 8, it says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner." Paul's writing this. "But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God." Notice specifically, and I'm purposely now in verse 9, "Who hath saved us?" Jesus Christ has saved us and called us with an holy calling. We've all been called with an holy calling to live holy, to live the best we can in the Lord Jesus Christ, with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. There's that word grace again, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Jesus Christ, it was no surprise to him that he was coming to this earth to seek and to save those who were lost. God did not have to search through heaven trying to find someone who was willing to go and to come to the earth to seek and to save those who were lost, because he already knew who was coming. He knew that he was going to send his only begotten Son into this world to seek and save those who were lost. "For by grace are we saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, but it's all through God. It's all because of his grace that any person is saved, that any person has ever been saved or who will ever be saved." Now, when we keep reading, we see not by works. Why? "For we are his workmanship." We can't save ourselves. He is the one who works in us, and we are his workmanship. We've been created in Christ Jesus, according to verse 10, unto good works. We've been created in Christ Jesus to do the things of God. Know him today as your Savior. And if you do know him as your Savior, live for him today. Lord, lift me
up. You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.